Would you like to sing the theme song with me, Michelle?
I sure would.
It's time for 13 Harbor, the podcast.
Hosted by Jasmine and her friends.
But this week, Michelle.
Hello.
Tanner Marino.
Hi.
Hello. So if you hear a noise in the background, that is Michelle 3D printing things.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That is Mr. Dale 3D printing Christmas gifts because he's too cheap to buy anything.
Another burn. It's not a Michelle Jasmine episode without one Dale burn.
That's right.
Yeah. It's just not possible. So welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, a major motion picture starring you.
Heyo!
So this week, we are going to cover the ride Disaster, a major motion picture ride starring you. Because Michelle was the host of the ride for a period of time.
Yeah. I opened the show. Yeah. I workshopped and opened it.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then I left when I got my Woody. What? You know how when you work at Disney on your name tag, you get like the different characters based on how long you work there? Well, your first year at Universal is a Woody Woodpecker. And
so all these people are getting Woodies.
Yeah. So it was really funny. So my favorite manager in the whole wide world, Shan, gave me mine. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Here's my 2 weeks notice. I'm moving to California.
So, okay. So Disaster. So, you know, in California, we have Universal Studios. We have the earthquake simulation, which I really enjoy, as cheesy as it is. I think it's fun. So originally the ride was called Earthquake, the big one, and was located in the San Francisco section of Universal Studios Orlando, Paris of the South.
Paris of the South. I still say that all the time. I know I'm not on the podcast because you needed more Jasmine time.
Yes.
You said, Michelle, get out of this podcast. I need to hear more of me.
I'm like, I appreciate what you contribute, but like, it's not enough of my voice.
Yeah. And I, you know, and so that is how we had a big fight. There
Huge
was hair
fight.
Pulling. It was just like the Real Housewives of New Jersey. It was a lot of table flipping.
Some throwing wine.
Oh,
Michelle drank all the throwing wine.
I drank all the throwing wine.
So the scene was, as I said earlier, based off the tram scene in Universal Studios Hollywood. The Hollywood attraction was based off of the 1974 film Earthquake, and it simulates an 8.3 earthquake, which is pretty strong.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, things come off rails and like water mains.
Yeah.
Trucks fly at you.
Flames.
Trucks. The wall falls. A truck stops at the top of the hill and then slowly comes down towards you.
And stops before getting anywhere near where you are. Okay, so wait. Just in case, you're probably going to go over this, but I just would like to clarify. So in the Hollywood version, you drive in and then it's the earthquake. With the Orlando version, Orlando, known as the Paris of the South. With the Orlando version, there was like a pre-show, I guess you would say, before you got to that. So there were three rooms and they talked about like visual effects, I think.
Yeah, Charlton Heston. Yeah.
Yes. I remember that I had only been on Earthquake once before I'd gotten the job as Lonnie, and then it was all changed.
It was all changed, but not really. Like, kind of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was all changed and brand new.
So, yes, the reason why I'm talking more about the old thing is just so you can see how little it changed. Because, like, I think it was 3 weeks it took to turn over everything.
No, at least six.
Okay.
Because they were three.
They closed things in phases.
There were three groups of... Oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. So there were three groups of Lonnies and each for opening cast. And each... So, like, the first group were more seasoned actors.
Oh, and Lonnie is the character Michelle played.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. Sorry. wait. No, you talk about earthquake. You finish about earthquake, and then I'll talk about disaster. I forgot how to podcast.
Me too. And I just did it like a few days ago. The original attraction featured three theaters, or the theater. The first featured pictures from the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. I said San Francisco weird because I wrote down San Fran and I didn't want to say San Fran. The second was a film starring Charlton Heston explaining how the special effects were done for the earthquake movie. And the third scene saw select guests recreating scenes from the movie. So it was all very earthquake centric. You know, a movie that had come out 20. This would be like if they built like. I was going to say a Clueless.
Simpsons thing. Land?
Yeah, this would be like if they built Simpsons Land.
Although but the 90s, like.
Clueless is still really popular. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because it's a great movie.
It is a great movie. There's great movies that aren't popular, though.
Like Clue.
Clue, yes. No, Clue is so popular. I know is so many people. I know so many people that Clue is their favorite movie.
It's not my favorite movie, but it's one of my favorite movies.
So the attraction was directed by Peter Alexander and his company, Totally Fun Company. He also did, I believe, the E.T. ride. He was
really?
Yeah. He was Steven Spielberg's roommate, Steven Spielberger.
Oh.
And that's how I think that he did a lot of his rides. He did a lot of rides at Universal, a lot of the Florida rides. Computerized hydraulics helped create the earthquake effect. The ride had so many glitches on opening day and just for the first few months that Universal pulled the ride.
Not just for the first few months.
Yeah, for a long time.
Forever.
The ride had so many glitches that Universal pulled the ride from advertisements and there was a lawsuit against the makers of the ride, like with Jaws.
What?
Yeah, if you listen to our Jaws ride, so Universal basically built the Hong Kong ride, the King Kong ride, which we were going to cover instead of this, but we're going to do that next season. We have the earthquake ride and we have Jaws. And I guess the only one to work. Oh, and then they had one other ride. And I guess that none of them worked, but I think King Kong worked the best. Jaws was so poor that they actually closed it and redesigned it. And then this one, they just like fixed it, but they didn't close it for a long period of time. So Universal had a lot of issues and there was a lot of lawsuits with their early rides.
And Michael Eisner was sitting in his money bin going, yes, they have failed. Money, 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 money.
Was Michael Eisner just going around like, look over there. And then he'd like pull like a little lever and like everything would break. He'd pull like a gasket out.
Yes.
And he'd give it to Frank Wells and he'd put it in his pocket.
Yeah. Aw, rip Frank Wells.
I know. The greatest friendship. In 2002, the ride was revamped to be more about practical special effects in filmmaking and not just about earthquake. So they removed the earthquake centricness. But then on November 5th, 2007, the ride was closed for refurbishment. And oh boy, did how that ride did change. do you have any? I went on the early earthquake. I went to Universal in 2003. For my, because I didn't have a 16th birthday because I didn't really have that many friends. So instead, my mom
took
me to Orlando.
You just skipped over. You just went 15, 17.
Yes. I just went 15, 95.
Yep. Solid 45. And there you'll stay.
Yes. And so I remember that. I remember King Kong very distinctly. I remember going on Jaws, but I closed my eyes the whole time. No, once I got to the boathouse, I closed my eyes because I knew.
Classic Jasmine.
I had a feeling like that shark's going to come out in that boathouse. And then I don't remember. No, I do remember this one because I remember thinking, oh, wow, this is just like ours, except ours is just a part of a greater ride. And this is the entire ride.
Yeah.
But it's still better than Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Accurate.
Do you have any memories of Earthquake? You just went on the one time.
I did it once. I remember the second room had special effects in the Grinch starring James Carey. Actually, okay, funny story. Not really. Whatever. One of the Lonnies that opened the show with me was named Penny. Penny was actually in How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey.
She's a who?
Yeah. And there's a close-up of her. And she's really cute. And she already has, like, a pretty little upturned nose. And so, like, when they put the Who makeup on her, she still looks like Penny. So when I watch it, I'm like, oh, my God, that's Penny.
Oh, that's so precious.
I should text her. She's a nice lady. I like her.
You have so many friends.
Hello, I came on this podcast to announce I have many friends.
So now let's move on to the crowning glory of this attraction.
The crown jewel of Universal theme park attractions.
The crown jewel of the theme park world, dare I say.
Yeah.
When they opened, Disaster, a major motion picture ride.
Starring you!
So they wanted to change it so that you were the star of this. No, you weren't the star. You were an extra. I have it explained. You're the extra in this movie. Okay, so after 1 month and 3 weeks. So you're right. It was longer than. So it was 7 weeks? 4, 5, 6, 7? I don't know. I don't math. I'm too pretty. The ride opened as Disaster, a major motion picture starring you. And it opened January 17th, 2008. I heard it closed in phases. So, like, the theater was closed first and, like, the ride they closed last because they really didn't do much to that or something like that. And then, so I think the whole thing was only shut for, like, 3 weeks, but, like, parts of it were closed the whole time. And you may be thinking, wow, that's an amazing turnaround. What?
Wow. Marvel. That's an amazing turnaround. What a marvel. Tell me more, Jasmine.
But really, the ride did not change.
What?
Yeah, I was shocked because I'd seen you. There's a video of Michelle who may choose to share it or not.
Of course. Please share it. I was skinny then. You better share it.
So Michelle was Lonnie, and there's a video of it, and I watched it, and I loved it.
I give myself such harsh notes because, like, I have to be kind to myself because that was, like, going on 15 years ago that I did that show, and, like, my – If I've learned anything from comedy, it's like, one, let things breathe. You don't have to machine gun your jokes. You know, there's a show that does that. Oh, is it Arrested Development? Yeah, where it machine guns jokes because it's meant for you to watch over and over. But in live performance and live theme parking, you can't shotgun go jokes. So, like, I watch that and I'm cringing because I'm like, let it breathe, you idiot. But I'm like, but that's just
no. That's and just I me. Buy you. Like, to me, that's good acting is like, do I buy this person is in this situation? And I bought it. And I know you. And I'm like, I know that's not Michelle talking to Christopher Walken, but I bought it.
Good acting. That's literally how I critique thing. I'm like, I like this. Like The Crown, I'm like, I like this. This is good acting.
So the ride experience was pretty much the same with a new altered pre-show. The line had props, and perhaps you can expound on these.
I forgot about those.
From fake disaster movies, including a ripped up plane from 300 knots landing and a shark from Das Shark. So the shark was like, they took a Jaws animatronic, but then like put like metal around him like he was an animatronic, not like a robot shark. I saw a picture of it. It was still scary.
I have no memory of this. I remember the plane and I remember there was like a work desk or something. But also I was in the queue once when it opened and I would like run lines out there. Okay, let me give you a little bit of backstory. I moved to Orlando that autumn. To do college, to start college at UCF, University of Central Florida. I started college. I was in an acting class. I auditioned to be a Glock girl at Disney. They said yes. So I was a musician at Disney.
There's a whole episode about that.
Oh, yeah. And then I was in school full time. And then I was told I got the show. Disaster. So I would, and I explained to them, I'm in a show at Disney. And I'm in college. So what I would do is I would go to college until noon because all my classes were super early because I had ballet at 8 a.m. I had ballet, accounting.
And very then, similar classes.
And then like I would alternate like between acting and like economics, right? Because I was a business major and a theater minor. And then at noon I would rush down to Universal, rehearse for 4 hours. Then I would rush from Universal to Disney. I would put my makeup on in the car, and then I would go do the parade.
Oh, wow. No wonder you were so skinny.
I was so skinny. It was glorious.
So the premise of the disaster ride changed. So this is the backstory. A failing movie studio run by Frank Kincaid needs free extras for a new disaster film they are making and ask you to help out. Am I correct, Michelle?
All of the main actors not died, were injured, I think.
Okay.
Something like that. And then, yeah, but that's basically it.
And The Rock is in this movie. And so there's a trailer at the end, which we'll get to. That, so they basically edit in, like, people in the audience into this trailer. And The Rock is the star of the movie. So you get to be in a movie with The Rock.
It's pretty cool. Like, if I was a kid and saw... So you film these scenes, right, on green screens. And then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later... you watch a trailer and you're in it. Like, it's kind of cool.
It's really cool. It's really, and it's like you're in a movie literally like with The Rock and then the guy from Sex and the City plays the bad guy. But they dubbed him, I think, because all of a sudden he has an American accent, but he's French.
Oh.
He was only in the movie.
Oh, that's why I don't really remember him.
So Frank Kincaid is seen on the ride. Using Mousseion eyeliner. I put eyeliner. It's some technology that I wrote the name down wrong, so I'm not even going to try to say it. It's basically Pepper's ghost effect.
Yeah, fancy. I was about to say, you mean Pepper's ghost? Yeah,
it's Pepper's ghost effect, but fancy with high definition. And Frank Kincaid is played by Christopher Walken.
But was originally going to be played by Alec Baldwin.
Oh.
But because he was doing 30 Rock. But it was also during, remember when he left that voicemail where he called his daughter a pig?
Yes.
It was during that scandal.
I see. Yeah. I see.
But now he does Capital One commercials, so all is forgiven.
We move on as a country. Yeah. So you have technically acted with Christopher Walken.
So in my bio, because I've sung a lot in LA, and like I've sung it like, I don't know, you've heard of this, like, Disney Concert Hall and stuff like that, and with, like, a few, like, orchestras and stuff. So, like, mostly I've been singing, but when, like, my acting biography says, and I quote, Michelle Marino was last seen acting alongside Christopher Walken in Universal's disaster film, which is not a lie.
It's really cool because, like, there's certain scenes where it's actually, like, a set. I didn't realize it was this elaborate. And like, so the Christopher Walken, Frank Kincaid is walking around. But it's like if you watch Fast and Furious, the new ride, like they interact. There's physical sets there, but the projection like interacts with it. And your line delivery amazed me because like it was tight. Like you literally he said a line and you immediately had to say it. And then he would say it. Like I was just amazed the timing of it all, because there wasn't like a second in between. Like it was like boom, 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 and like you at one point like pick up something that he drops.
He hands me a book.
Yeah, but it's like he puts it behind something and then you pick it up.
Yeah,
I thought, I was like, I got that one.
Oh, and the little train. There's like a little train that comes up and catches on fire, and we had to use a fire extinguisher, so we all had to get like fire extinguisher training, which was
safety,
so
hazard pay.
Yeah, so we got like 35 cents of hazard pay, and then because it was loud we got hazard pay. I was like, okay, it was weird.
So I will put a link to this video in the show notes. Also, you can just email me at 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com and I'll send it to you because it's amazing.
Or ask me, I will
just find
give
Michelle
it to
you. She'll give you a burnt DVD copy.
Right.
So touring the studio. So basically you're going to tour the studio. That is the premise. And guests are greeted by Lonnie, the film's assistant director, which was played by Michelle and others, but mostly Michelle.
No, many other people. I was in the bottom echelon. The director did not like me and made that very clear. I was like 21. I was like, no, 23. I was like a bit of a space cadet. I hadn't been diagnosed with ADHD yet, but I don't know. He just didn't like me. He did a bunch of other shows at the theme park that I thought I would be great for.
He was
like,
intimidated by you sexually.
Yeah, sure, Jan. He did not the Mythos show. What was the show at across from Mythos?
Oh, yeah, the one with Taylor.
I wanted to be Taylor so badly. I was doing like Uta Hagen acting work. For Uta Hagen's like theory is like everything you say in life and as an actor has a verb. Like right now my verb is to explain. I'm explaining Uta Hagen. And your verb is to understand, to acknowledge. Do you know what I mean? I went through Taylor's script and I had to greet, to accept, to question, to like I wanted that role so badly. And it's basically Lonnie in a different shirt. And I never got it.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay.
That person was a loser. I will say that publicly, person.
And when I told him I was moving to California, which was not for acting, it was for another job, he was like, they couldn't get someone in California to do that job. And I was like, you are not nice to me for no reason. Also, you're ugly.
So Lonnie takes the guests to the sound, to a sound stage where the scenes are shot. I don't know why I wrote it like this. I apologize, everybody. I wrote this like so staccato. Pre-selected audience members then shoot various stunt scenes. So if you watch the video, it's basically like, first of all, I love your version of Lonnie. I've seen a few different videos. Some people, they play it like they think Frank Kincaid is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You kind of played it like more realistic to me. Like, I'm so tired. I am so exhausted. Being an assistant, working on film sets sucks. And the lower you are, the more it sucks. So like being an assistant, an assistant director is not too bad. But if you're like a PA, like, no, life is horrible. Life is horrible. Would you like to work for free or get paid like $2,000 for 6 months work and basically have to like be up all like go to an actor's house at 2 a.m. to like pick them up off their toilet after their latest drug binge?
No, thank you.
Your first thing you did is you go around and you kind of explain like Frank Kincaid, and then like you're very put upon. There's this really cool scene where you're acting with him and he throws stuff on the ground and you pick it up and it's
so that's
like,
the
seamless.
Second scene. Okay. So
okay.
The first scene, the first room you come into, all these people are kind of herded in, and then Lonnie comes out and is like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for being here. All of our actors quit. Don't worry about it. I need like 7 actors to do things. And Frank Kincaid, he's my boss and blah, blah, blah. So it's like the first room. And then the second room is the Pepper's Ghost room. So it's like a theater. So everyone is walking in and they're leaning on lean rails, and I'm interacting with Christopher Walken's hologram or Pepper's ghost effect, but
Frank Kincaid.
But I can see him out of the corner of my eyes because of the piece of glass that he's reflecting on. But obviously I can't look at it. So it was like this real choreo like dance. So you had to like know where you had to be at what time. So that was cool. And then we had in every room, we had these red and green lights because so the next room is where we filmed the green screen scenes. And the final thing is the train.
Audience participation. Yeah.
Yeah. The final thing is the train where you get to do the earthquake and then see the trailer of the film. Well, if the train broke down, you had to stall. So we had lights in every room so that we knew to stall. Right. So red meant stall. Green meant go ahead. And so we worked with the ops team. They had to open the doors for us because we were acting. So that was interesting because the worst room to stall in is the Christopher Walken room because you're really far away from the audience. So like the audience is in this like theater and then you're on a stage, but really far away and like deep into the stage because there has to be room for the glass for the Pepper's ghost effect. And that's just awkward to stall because it's dark. Weird thing, when I personally, when I sing, I like to sing to the dark because it's easier. But when I act, I like to see because I can read the room better. And that room just sucked to stall because you're just like, that guy's a fruitcake, huh? Yeah, I gotta get a new job. Is anybody hiring? Or like, I don't even remember. Like, there's just stall material. And then, so the third room is a soundstage with a lot of green screens, and you're doing all of these shots. So to be respectful to your other actors, you always want that room to be tight. Because luckily, yeah, you want that room to be tight because you don't want someone stalling in room 2. Stalling in room 1 is easier because you're still like working in the crowd and kind of talking to them. But like room 3, you have to do all these shots. And then Christopher Walken comes up and is like, this is great. These shots are so wonderful.
It is the most Christopher Walken performance I've ever seen.
So the third room, you have to do, I think it's like 7 shots. You have to do shot in the balls. I remember that one. You have to do someone leaning against a building.
Wait, shot in the balls, like, do you mean, like, they throw a ball at them, or do you mean male genitalia?
Neither. Oh. I mean neither. I mean, there is, you know, in Annie, like that big cart where they have the laundry?
Yes.
Basically a cart like that filled with green balls.
Oh.
And what's supposed, I think like the person's supposed to be in water. So they like wave their hands around and they're like.
Some fine acting in those scenes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So this is audience members that you've pre-selected.
Yes, I pre-selected in room one. And now in room three, they're doing their thing. And yeah, and then you have to wait for the, you do the whole scene. And then you have to wait for the light to turn green. Then you can release your audience. Then they go to the earthquake, the actual ride thing. They ride the ride. They're filmed reacting to the earthquake.
Yeah, and they call out things. Like, they're like, look to the left, look to the right. Now looks terrified.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the guy who's directing you on that was okay, there were two directors. Matt was super nice and very great. And he's the one being the director in that, who was the director of the show.
So meta.
Yeah. And then you watch the trailer and then you walk away. And then sometimes what I would do is, especially if I didn't have a show right after, because sometimes you have like back-to-back shows and sometimes you would have like a show and then a break. If I had a break, sometimes I would stand on the platform and be like, bye, thank you. Yay, I saved my job. And then my favorite manager, Shan, sometimes she would walk by and I would be like, but Mrs. Kincaid, I did everything he said. Why can't I keep my job? So like stupid little things that I thought were so funny. I love Shan so much.
So we talked about the difference of the stunt scenes. After this, guests were taken to the subway station and board the trains, and directions are shown on screen by Michelle's friend. So the guests know what to do, and then you experience the earthquake. They supposedly made changes.
Oh, I just know about the train. So the train was slower coming back, so you could watch the trailer.
Oh, okay.
And it had like a new computer because it had to get the shots, the data from room three, and also the shots that you just took on the train, compile them and throw them into the
So after the earthquake happens, you back up and they show you like the scenes, like they show you a trailer with a rock, and then they edit in scenes. So they edit in the stuff that you shot in the scene before, and they edit in audience reactions to the earthquake. And I love watching that because people are laughing so hard.
Yeah,
it's like, that's Dan, isn't Dan stupid?
Like that's my grandma. Oh yeah, one of the lines was like I need a hoe, grandma hoe. Like, you know, a grandma who hoes, like who does gardening.
You made the dirtiest joke I've ever heard in a theme park ride.
I did.
So I'm sure it was a part of the script. So there's a part that it's in the first scene, or no, the second scene. And you talk about like there's three guys you have to pick, or two guys. And you're like, wow, that was my first three-way.
I said that?
Yep. And I had to replay it because I was like, oh my gosh.
Lovely. Universal is so, it's so different from Disney. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when I was at, it's funny because like when I was at Disney, they specifically were like, you're the Glock girls, you're here for the dads, your skirts are short, you know? And it's like, we're here for the dads. We were in a head to toe, basically like a red onesie. Like a skin tight, what do you call those things? Like the Spider-Man thing you wear? But it's a suit from ankle to wrist to neck, like a little turtleneck. I had that whole thing that was red. Then I had a coat on, gloves, and a skirt. And we were sexy. Like that's Disney sexy. Do you know what I mean? And then cut to Universal and I'm talking about like, you know, I need a hoe and I need a man. No, I don't need a man. No, I'm very happy with my cats. Thank you so much for asking.
I felt that. And then there was one joke you made about, like, there was, like, a topical joke, and I can't remember what it was, about, like, probably Lindsay Lohan or, like, Paris Hilton or something.
Whoa, throwback Thursday.
Yep. And I just remember being like, oh, that's their topical joke.
Someone had a joke about apple-bottom jeans and boots with the fur. And even when we were rehearsing that, I'm like, this isn't going to age well.
So the actual earthquake experience
is... We haven't even gotten to the questions yet.
No, we're almost at the questions.
So sorry, I forgot how tangential I am.
You would pull in, and then the earthquake would happen. So it's like the Universal Hollywood one. The truck comes down. There's lots of water. I think there's a lot more water in the Orlando one than in the Hollywood. It just looks like a lot
more. I mean, there's no drought, so maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Orlando has nothing but water. The train comes out. But this one, it's not as scary because, like, the director is telling you, look over there, look shocked. Okay, now do this, now do that. So, like, you're also kind of acting, I guess, which is, I would think that was fun, but I don't know if other people are like, I didn't come here to work.
I think they had fun.
So yeah, if you want to know what the actual on-ride experience was, you can look up any earthquake video, or you can commit like 30 minutes of your life and watch the whole thing, like all the show. So with like the pre-show and everything.
It's fun. So, you should watch my pre-show.
I really liked yours a lot.
Shameless plug.
After the experience, guests were shown a trailer for Mother Nature. That's the name of the film.
Spelled, oh yeah. Like, it was like Mother Nature. Dun, dun.
Dun. starring The Rock, and the trailer is spliced with footage of guests during the ride. So the whole ride closed September 8th, 2015, and was replaced with the superlative ride Fast and Furious Supercharge. I say that very sarcastically.
I mean, only The Rock. The Rock has a contract where only rides with him can be in that space.
So I feel I'm trying to think in my head, have we explained the ride thoroughly enough? I feel like recently I've been like, I get so excited about things. I'm like, have I actually encapsulated the experience of the earthquake ride? Basically, it's a lot of pre-show and then a little ride at the end. And you're with the Lonnie character, like the whole, you're out there for like, it feels like 20 minutes. Like working a lot. You're working that crowd.
They can, and like I said, if we have to stall, they can go on longer. But it was fun. I really loved it. If I could do anything, honestly, like, of course, an Imagineer, but I would still like to perform more. And I love theme park performing. It's so fun.
Was that one of your favorite theme park jobs you've had?
For sure.
Well, you were the star. It was like just Lonnie. Like, you were the star. And somebody bring you some ham.
That's what I said. It was so crazy because I had been, even when I was a musician at Disney, I still had to pull my own costume, which is no big deal, whatever. But, you know, you have to remember little pieces like, oh, my gloves or my bootstraps or my boots or whatever. But like at Universal, they would dry clean and bring you your costume, and they would bring you extra shirts in case you sweated. And it was like we had shoes that like Lonnie wore. You couldn't just wear sneakers. Like the character had red shoes to match her little red shirt, his or her little red shirt. So it was really... it was really cool. Like Universal treated me so well. It was so different. And like they would pull costumes and I'd be like, oh, I'm a large and this is a medium. And like, oh, you would have thought the queen was coming. Oh, we'll get you another one, Michelle. I'm like, oh, no. I was just letting you know if like I can go pick it up. They're like, no, you don't have to walk across the... I'm like, oh, okay. It was really nice. They treated me really well.
Were there male Lonnies or were they all female?
Yeah, that's why Lonnie, kind of like Taylor, it's like...
very, yeah.
Yeah.
They try to pick names that work for everybody.
Exactly.
Cast a wide net.
Exactly. And there were Lonnies of all different ages. Like, I was 23. I knew some Lonnies that were much older.
30. No kidding.
No, like 45, 50.
Not good.
You know, so it was like, it was very different. It was, there was no like, aside from like a nervous, acting nervous, there was no type. It was like me. There was a girl. She's now a real estate agent, which I'm sure she's crushing it at. But her name was Jasmine and she was Persian.
Oh, was it me?
What? Was it you?
So like, I rip off the mask, a subterfuge for like, all these years.
Oh, Jasmine! there were so many different people, genders, what do you call it when ethnicities? You know, I'm a young Hispanic lady. Well, not so young anymore, but I'm a Hispanic lady.
You're a middle-aged Hispanic woman.
That's right. Not middle-aged. I'm 35. Jeepers.
If we lived in medieval times, you'd be grandma.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I'd be dead as heck. Yeah, so that was really cool, which meant, like, if you had to stall, like, we had a little speaker in our green room that we could hear what was going on in the different rooms. So it was cool, like, as you were getting ready, you could hear other people do their shows. And if they had to stall, you could then steal their material.
So, like, okay, so let's say you're in the second room. Is there another Lonnie in the first room?
Uh-huh, and another Lonnie in the third room.
But it's okay, because, like, you could just pretend, like, that's Susie. Like, it's not like...
Exactly.
You're like, all, like, a Beetlejuice or something.
Right, right, right. They're, as far as... Right, exactly. It's just different people that work at the studio. But, yeah, so that's why you want to be kind to your other Lonnies and, like, if you don't have to stall, don't stall, because that makes them stall. And, you know, make sure that you're... When your green light is going, you're ready to move on to the next.
Move. Oh, and your catchphrase was moving on, right?
We are.
Moving on.
That's right.
I was going to start the podcast like that, and I totally forgot. Like, and we are. I have to do that at the end. I'm going to forget, but I'm going to say it. We are moving on. I mean, this is the last episode of the season, so we are moving on
to season Christmas. Season four?
So season one was like a year. Mm-hmm. Then it was like season like 1.5. That was like the early quarantine. And this is like season two to me.
Okay, so season three.
Yeah. But it could also be season four. It's whatever. Dealer's choice. Yeah.
Whatever.
So now for the official questions. I've just been chit-chatting with you. There's a few that I'm like, I'm trying to check my notes to see if I put them down. Because like, I was very fascinated by the fact that like you had like people you interacted with, like you had a crew.
Right. So those are ops people. And like, it was awesome. Like I had.
What does ops mean?
Operations. So like, like attractions people. They were in yellow shirts. They were the one that were opening and closing doors and doing that stuff so that I was just, or the Lonnies were just acting or whatever. And it was awesome because after the, you know, you get to know them and, you get to hang out with them. And one of my very good friends from Disney was actually working there at the time. So I got to work with him. Yeah, it was just awesome. And like, they weren't mic'd, but they would have funny or frustrating quips. Frustrating for the character, but funny for me quips. Do you know what I mean? So like, it was great. Yeah, it was great. And you got to know your ops people really well.
So like the boom operator was really like, recording sound.
I think he's pretending because none of the audio went into the trailer, but he is, you know, holding a boom like he's supposed to and all that jazz.
They did a good job. Like, I'm like, oh, I've had to work with so many crappy boom operators that I'm like, can I have you, please?
They should have just hired from Disaster.
No!
I am a liar. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot until this very second. Tim and oh my gosh, sorry, those are tech people. They're wearing a black shirt. Those are actual tech people that now, I think most of them are working in film now. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I blanked on that. I don't know if they were recording sound. Honestly, I don't know. But those people, they were the techs that would actually push the buttons to send the video from room 3, where we were recording stuff, to the train so that the train could do its thing. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that.
I'm amazed how quickly, because like, okay, like you have a little bit more time with the clips of the people who you record earlier, because you can work on that during the earthquake part, but like, they literally have like seconds to edit the earth, like the on-ride, like the audience screaming about the earthquake to showing you the trailer, because it's like immediately after.
I think it's like a computer, just like a computer being like, I've captured this, input this. Like, I don't know. Like, if someone
But you still
was...
have to select, like, the right time code. Because, like, I don't think the computer knows.
I have no idea how it worked. I know it was an onboard computer. I know that the techs didn't do that. But, yeah, the techs would stay in room 3. And they were in charge of putting the scenes into the train. I can't believe I forgot that. I'm a jerk. Adam did my headshots. And Tim... Wow, my brain. My brain is mush.
Gave you your first baby.
That's right. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for my baby.
Okay, so that's funny enough, we haven't even gotten to the official interview questions.
Oh
so,
my gosh!
How did you get the job?
I auditioned. They had an open call for like young comedian people.
Named Michelle.
And I did my monologue. That is my go-to monologue. So first of all, they tell you in acting school, never pick a monologue from a monologue book. And I didn't. I heard another girl do this monologue and I stole it. And it starts like, Now, George Washington was not only the founder of our country, but he was also the founder of the first septuplets in the United States. Five of his children were very badly behaved, and so they were sold into white slavery. And the other two, well, they tragically lost their lives trying to get their father's wooden teeth out of the Potomac. So that was the beginning of my monologue. It's a great monologue. I love it. I used it for Disney a lot. Because it has a lot of like comedic beats in it. So yeah, I did that. I also, one time I used a monologue from Liz Lemon, the one where she's confessing to Floyd.
Oh, that she pooped in her pants and then ate more shrimp.
She's like, I pooped my pants once and all you can eat shrimp buffet. And I didn't leave until I got my second plate. So I did that monologue. That was another monologue, my go-to monologue, because it talked about poop.
And then I came in behind you, pretended to knock on the door, made a face, and walked away.
Yeah. And I was like, and I lied. I have had 5 donuts today. So now we're even.
I always thought it was so funny that they always say don't pick a monologue from a monologue book. I'm like, hey, there's not that many monologues out there.
Right. Especially comedic monologues for, do you know how hard it is to find a comedic song for a woman? I have one comedic song in my book, and girl, I use it. It's Little Girls from Annie, and I use
little
it.
Little Girls.
Everywhere I turn.
You know what's another good? I used to always sing A Person Can Develop a Cold, Adelaide song.
Oh, yes,
Guys
yes.
and Dolls. That was like, I can't sing, so that was my comedic, that was my only song. So that was mine, and I was trying to get my niece to do it, because I'm like, you need to try to play that
well,
part.
Yeah, because nobody does old stuff like that. Like I like to pick so I have a few friends working on Broadway and they always spill the tea. Now they don't want Broadway songs, they want you to sing pop songs.
Well, so much of Broadway is pop music,
right? Which, for good or bad, whatever it is, but like, it's not my skill set. My skill set is dramatic musical theater.
Broadway. So what was the training process like?
So it was 2 weeks. Well, for me, it was really only 1 week because I was only there for afternoons. But you had to get signed off on each room. So you had to learn your script and have your, because it wasn't just saying lines. It wasn't like the Jungle Cruise, because like Jungle Cruise, you just had to say your lines and that was it. No one cared if you could act. But for Disaster, it was an acting job. So, like, you had to get signed off on each room and you got notes all the time of, like, do this bigger, let this breathe, like, you know, your beats here are weird. So, you had to, and then we had to do, there was just a lot of choreography in room 2 and 3. Room 2 being the one with the Pepper's Ghost. And, like, that is the room that everyone got a million notes on because, again, you're not supposed
to be complicated.
Yeah. Like, you're supposed to, you open the door, you blow, it's, like, just very technical. Like, you're on the floor, the Pepper's Ghost effect is right above you, so you're looking at it, but you're not interacting with it.
So, were you in front of the glass or behind the glass?
Behind it. So, okay. I was looking at nothing. Like, when I turned to him, I'm looking at nothing, but because he's projected between the audience and me is the glass. So it looks like I'm looking at him, but I'm looking at nothing.
The painting that they have of him in the beginning looks nothing like Christopher Walken. I feel like they just painted that thinking any generic middle-aged white man.
That's right. Christopher Reeves, Christopher Lloyd, Christopher from Allstate. Cross, we don't know.
I encourage everyone to watch it. It's amazing how tight. Usually when you have actors who are acting against something pre-recorded, there's that awkward, like, blah, 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 blah. That's right. Blah, blah, blah. Like, there's that weird pause. And it's so tight. Like, it's tighter than real life, almost. Like, it would be hard to get two actors to get that, like, on top of each other.
The one compliment that I got from that director that doesn't like is that I have really good rhythm. So once I get into the rhythm of the room, and I get into the good thing is once I get into the rhythm, like boop, 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 I'm good. The bad thing is if something throws off, now you've thrown him off your rhythm. But like not stalling, because stalling, I'm still in my own rhythm. But like if someone, I don't know, if I'm distracted or someone says something that my brain doesn't compute, or like a not a normal thing that a guest would say, and then I'm thrown off my rhythm, then I have to like find it again. I don't know if that makes sense for anyone that's not.
For me, it makes sense, but I also do some light acting, so.
Yeah. So like once you get into it, but then the other bad part is like, okay, let's try something different. It's like, oh shoot, but I've gotten into this rhythm now. So, it, you know, it's good and it's bad.
I was so amazed because I know you pretty well, I would say, but I didn't feel
sexually,
like I was
romantically.
Sexually, spiritually, financially, but
yeah. But all like, Elise.
I was like, oh, that's not Michelle. Like, I wasn't watching Michelle. I was watching Lonnie. But, like, because you didn't do, like, Michelle things.
Thank you.
There was no singing.
There was no singing. I actually, there was one day I did a double. So I did, like, 9 shows. Because you either did 4 shows or 5 shows, I think. And I did 9 shows. And then I got polyps on my vocal cords.
Yeah, because each show is, like, 20, 30 minutes.
And then, like, because the character is stressed... I'm stressed. So my vocal cords were just rubbing together because it's that really, really high, really stressed out kind of voice. So
how did you pick out the people in the beginning? I might be skipping ahead. That might be a question I have later.
So first of all, someone not too drunk.
I was going to say, are there some people you look at and you're like, not you?
You're correct. That is 1,000% correct.
Yes.
Especially later in the night. So because I was a younger actor.
Those drunk kids.
Well, yeah, exactly. That explains why we have so many drunk toddlers. Because I was like lower on the totem pole, I would get later shifts, which stunk around Mardi Gras or Halloween Horror Nights because people would be drunk. So it's just a matter of looking out into the audience, finding someone who's like interested, who's paying attention to you, but who is not too drunk. They could be a little drunk and also is going to have fun. Some guys, like when I'm like, I need a man and like, I'll pick like a dad or something. And sometimes they are just sticks in the mud. And at that point I can't be like, oh, never mind. You suck. You know, I just have to like make it work, you know, kind of like finesse them a little bit more, maybe in room one. To be like, oh, meow, cat noise. And they'll be like, my wife's right there. You better not bother me. And I'm like, her and I, we have an agreement. Don't you worry. So like, and then, you know, by the time they get into room 3 and they're on camera, they normally like do their best. But there's no science to it.
You picked like specific types. So it was like you needed like a little boy. You needed like an older grandma type. You needed like a handsome man, I think was one of them. But that one I think was just like some chubby dad.
It's whomever.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I would get a hot Brazilian. Meow. Cat noise.
And then there was like one with 3 and then you made the joke about the 3-way. Which you need to rewatch it because you totally did. I don't know if that was thing or if that was that had. I feel like you would not have just said that. I feel like that had to be.
It probably was in the script. I'm aside from cursing out Prince Charles.
Yes,
I'm fairly clean.
If Prince Charles was in the audience, all bets are off.
And then sometimes we would just be doing our shows, and then our stage managers would come in and just give us notes on the show. And like some of the notes were so nitpicky and I'm like, I'm glad that this is keeping your job. But like, this is so nitpicky.
Did you ever perform to like 5 people?
Oh, yes.
Everybody's on the show.
So sometimes our show would start at like 5, right? And we would have, because we couldn't do the show without, I think like 12 or 13 people, because you had to have enough people on stage and enough people in the audience. Otherwise, they would just cancel the show or combine it. So make the guest wait a little bit longer and we'll do 2 shows. Or sometimes we would just hold a show and make it... On a busy day, you had a Lonnie in room 1, 2, and 3. But on like a slow day, you'd have a Lonnie in room 1 and 3, you know. Or like 2 is finishing up while you're starting in 1. So yeah, sometimes we had to hold a show to get more people.
And come.
And the poor ops people worked so hard because they like, you know, like a better show is a medium to large size show. And so they would be like, hey, you guys want to go on this carnival barking?
Yeah.
Like the Barker Bird.
They were selling it.
Yeah.
They were Jose the Barker Bird. Yes.
Yeah.
So describe your version of Lonnie.
My version of Lonnie was a young person. She was about my height.
Yes.
I heard David Duchovny make that joke in like 1996, and I've been holding on to it till now. Finally got to use it. Vindication! She was that girl that like came ultra prepared to everything, but like Frank Kincaid was just so manic and crazy that like she's just gone a little, she just wants to get this job over with and like go to business school because she's made a horrible mistake with her life. She's like way over Frank Kincaid and his baloney St. James. So there were three groups of Lonnies. And they all, we were all brought in 2 weeks at a time. So the first group, they were more seasoned actors, and they, I think they got to finesse the script more. And then the next group, they had 4 weeks of training. They got to finesse it more. Then like the new kids, like me, Jasmine, just like the babies.
Me Jasmine.
Yeah, you, Jasmine. we got 2 weeks, but I technically only got the 1 week because I was doing half days because of all my other work and school commitments. There were a few, like the, we had an approved alternate script. So we had our script and then we had approved alternate lines. And like one or two of my lines got it in there. And I was so proud of myself.
Which of your lines got in there?
It was, I need a man. No, wait, I don't need a man. I'm perfectly happy with my cat. I'm fine. This is fine.
Amazing. Because I feel like they did that for a long time.
Oh, so really?
Like, I feel like I've seen other things where they've said that. I have to watch other videos. Yeah, I mean, not that I want to watch a bunch of these videos that you're not in, but...
Just the ones you're in, Michelle.
I was going to say, did you get to improvise? And then I put three-way joke. But I'm sure, yes. Yeah.
So much improv, which was great because I did and still love improv and I miss it so much. Yeah, so stalling was all improv. You were just working the crowd. And luckily, I was from Jungle Cruise, so I knew kind of those stall jokes, like... Oh, where are you guys from? California. I'm sorry? California. No, I heard you. I'm just sorry. You know, like, I mean, I feel like every theme park performer has that one in their back pocket. And then, so I was pretty used to stalling. Stalling in room three was way easier. One and three, like I said, were easier. Two was really difficult. But yeah, there was a lot of improv. And then there were, like I said, there were my own personal gags, like calling Shan Mrs. Kincaid and following her around. And it was just fun. It was so fun. Now that I think about it, like, I was stressed because during training, I was told that I might get fired, I wasn't cutting it.
And but you're so good.
Oh, thanks. They didn't think so. But yeah, so I almost got fired. And then I don't feel like I did much, but I mean, I stayed up a few nights and like just ran lines like crazy. My poor boyfriend at the time, we were just like running lines. And I was going over my verbs and like, I would be in ballet class and be like, welcome to Disaster Studios, Movement's premium production company special, you know, and then I kept my job. So that was great.
For a year. And then you left.
And then I left. I'm the boss.
Who were some of the weirdest people you picked for an audience participation?
Oh, boy. So, okay. You always want the audience on your side. I made the fatal mistake once of getting the audience to hate me. I was the Prince Charles in the room. I said, oh, it's so embarrassing. It's burned into my brain, so I never do it again. I asked a little younger girl. She was like tween. A question, and she was like, what? I'm like, oh, did you not hear me because you go to public school? Oh my lord, the audience turned on me, and it was the most awkward show for the, like, I could not get them back. I'm like, here's a dollar, please like me, I'm sorry. But then it's also like,
that's my favorite joke you've ever made.
Oh my gosh. And I was like, no. And then it was like, no, I tried to backpedal. Like, no, I went to public school. And I'm like, nope, I'm just going to have to be hated for the rest of the show. And I'm like, it's 20 minutes. It's one show out of like 100 that I've done. Like, it's fine.
Was it towards the beginning?
Yes.
Oh, that
it was in room one. And I could feel them hate me in room two. And I was like, well, I just got to get
through
this.
It was probably like a bunch of public school teachers who were like, we just hit our retirement and we're vacationing. And
yeah. I thought I was like, I'm so glad my, you know, stage manager isn't watching this show because I would probably get written up or fired for that one. But luckily no one knew. So it worked.
What did you do with a rowdy audience or an audience that doesn't pay attention?
Work hard. Just try to win them over. Like
shake bells.
I would say, what would you do
for a Klondike bar?
There, then I got them.
You'd shake the Kathy Geist keys.
That's right. No, I would. You just have to like work them, or because she's like a put upon. You could just say, hey, pay attention to me. It is. I am talking now. I am the boss. You know, you could get away with saying stuff like that. Whereas
just
like
start crying
or like, for example, like Jungle Cruise, if no one's paying attention, you just kind of have to like play to the people that are paying attention. Sometimes you couldn't win those boats back. But like with this, and especially like once they see their friends or whatever getting pulled up. Rowdy crowds could go either way. They could go rowdy and talk over you and not care, or they could be rowdy and fun. You know, like you get to room 3 and you do like these crowd shots and they're just like, they're like drunk and like not too drunk. They're like the good kind of drunk. They're like 4 o'clock on Halloween Horror Nights. They're like a little drunk. So they're like having fun and they're like so proud of their friends. They're like, you did good acting. So you just try to like hold their attention and like it's so like abstract to talk about this. It's like you read the room and you work hard to keep their attention. You know, you look at everyone, you make eye contact, you don't zone out, you do good acting. But it's so abstract to say that. Like you read the room. It's like how do you teach them? How do you explain reading the room? You know what I mean?
So what was one of your favorite experiences, I ask you, as you just start to eat something?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to necessarily be like an audience, just some. It could be a behind the stage thing. It could just be something that like the friends you made. But what was like something that you're like, that was really fun to experience? And it was like a one time thing.
Definitely all the other Lonnies, because some of them some of the people that I worked with at Disaster were why I got into theme park performing. So originally, like, my goal was Broadway. And then I started going to Disney World. I started going to the Adventurers Club. I started watching Voices of Liberty. I started going to Universal and seeing, like, Doc Brown and the Blues Brothers. And I was like, no, I like this. I like that I love theme park performing. And so like one of my good friends to this day, John Connon, you can Google him. He does such funny stuff. He still hosts at our old improv school, SAC Comedy Lab, SAK. And I think like that friendship I cherish so, so much. I worked with, you know, Penny, who was in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I worked with my friend Jennifer Krista Palmer, who was most recently in the Lady and the Tramp movie for Disney Plus. She is an amazing actress, and like I got to work with her. I mean, it was spectacular. So
and
like
Christopher Walken
and Chris, oh yeah, that guy too. But like, I think just like while the pyramid was like John Connon is one of the funniest, most charming, most amazing hosts you'll ever find on this God's green earth. But like getting to work with him, getting to watch him, he really took me under his wing. And like when I was having problems with the script and stuff, he like helped me. And then because I was such a fan of the Adventurers Club and he worked there too, he would like tell me little Adventurers Club stories and teach me little things. Like he taught me how to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. But the Adventurers Club or the comedy version, which is take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowds by me, some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if we ever get back because it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. So it's 1, 2, 3 strikes. You're out at the old ball game.
That's pretty funny, actually.
So, like, he taught me that. I remember that very vividly. We were watching. For some reason, they always had race. I normally worked on the weekends. And they always, we had a TV in our green room, and they always had race cars, like racetracks.
It's Florida. It's probably like Daytona or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I remember like sitting on the couch and like him teaching that to me. Like that was like such a lovely memory. And like it was just so cool. I'd never been treated so nicely than at Universal of like, oh, here's your costume, Miss Marino. I'm like, who's Miss Marino?
It's funny that you like it so much because you've talked so much about being a Jungle Cruise skipper. And like you'd mentioned you worked on this ride, but like you didn't talk about it a lot. But would you say like this is your favorite theme park job you've ever had?
No, I would say being a Glock girl at Walt Disney World was the most amazing experience of my life. I'm getting married soon, so hopefully it'll become number two. But until will it? I remember Christmas Day 2007, and I remember stepping off and doing the parade, and I had my outfit on. People were watching. We had filmed the, because at that theme park, you film the parade weeks before. People at home in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, in Maine, you know, anywhere in the world were watching me dance on TV. And then I was going out to dance again. And Jasmine, I've never seen so many people. There were like stacks on stacks on stacks of people. There were so many flashes. And I was just like, I started getting nervous. I was like, oh my, I remember turning to one of my other girls and I was like, oh my God, like this is happening. It was like, it was Christmas and we danced right in front of Santa Claus. So like the energy and like, that was the craziest, most fun experience. And like, I remember when that show came to a close, I cried so much. Like that was so sad to say, because I workshopped and opened that show or that parade, and it's still going on at Disney World. And we were the last years of the Glock Girls. So Walt started the Glock Girls. I ended it. Like it was a lot. That probably is my favorite theme park job in the whole wide world. Hopefully I can get back into theme park performing and then I'll have another story for you. But as of now, that's number one. Number two is disaster. And number three is being a Jungle Cruise skipper.
Yeah, yeah. I could never. Four was selling hot dogs.
That's right. Four was selling my body on OBT.
What was a typical shift like?
You came in like an hour before your show. So one of the things in your agreement, it wasn't a contract, but your agreement was you weren't allowed to gain or lose weight. You had to stay the weight that you were, because your costumes were ordered to you. Now, your costumes were a pair of khaki pants, a polo shirt, and some chucks. Do you know what I mean? Like, they easily could have, but whatever. In your deal as an actor, you weren't allowed to gain or lose weight. You were hired to look like you could change your hair slightly, like color-wise, but nothing drastic. Like, they hired you to be this. And that was it. So anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about that. But you would come in, check in with your stage manager. Hey, I'm here. Get dressed. I would put on makeup. I would stretch. Because one of my big things, and I do this at auditions too, I need to feel comfortable. This is so actory. I apologize. I need to feel comfortable in the space. Otherwise, I'm really tight. Even before I audition, I have to go to the bathroom and, like, make the space my own. Like, I have to, like,
fill it with your farts.
Fill it with my farts. I need to stretch. And, like, I do, like, I hold a lot of tension in my jaw. I do a lot of, like, relaxate. So this is just actor bullshit. How about that? I apologize. But for some reason, it works for me. It just relaxes me so that I can focus not on my nerves, but instead on what I'm saying, my rhythm, and delivering it. So yeah, so then I would stretch and then I would get mic'd up. I would get my clipboard and pencil because I had a clipboard for the whole show. So I could write down who's in what role. I also could write down my show times so I wouldn't miss a show. Because when I worked at another theme park, I used to miss shows. Here's the thing. When I worked at another theme park, I was in a show about an under-the-sea maiden who wished to be a person, whatever show that was.
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List.
Yes.
And they would write all the times you were on a whiteboard, right? But they had three different casts, cast A, B, C. Well, if I was B for a week and all of a sudden I'm C, I've been looking at one thing for a week. So, like, I would get confused. Plus, I was pretty new. So I would get confused and I think I missed two shows. I didn't get written up for the first one, but I did get written up for the second one.
What happens if you're not there? Is it just like...
They do a contingency for Lonnie or the Under the Water and Maiden?
For Schindler's List.
Schindler's List. They would do a contingency show. So in the event that like... And they do this on Broadway too. My friend was in Cats for 10 years and he would tell me about like contingency shows where like just dance as many parts as you can. Like... In this number, you're this cat, but in this number, you're this cat, and in this number, you're this cat. And that's basically what would happen. So, like, there are a few puppets that had to be maneuvered, and then there are some that you can, like, don't worry about it.
The Oscar and Schindler puppet.
The Oscar Schindler was a mandatory. Yeah. But, like, Johanna, she was not mandatory. So, yeah, so a contingency show would just happen. Or if you were lucky, they would call... like your A or B or C or whatever other shows, like, hey, can you do this show? Because you can switch shows. Like I would do all of my shows at once, then I would go play in the theme park.
I didn't know you did this. So this is, I'm learning something new about you.
I did not like my time working in entertainment for that theme park, aside from being a musician.
I mean, Schindler's List is a depressing show.
So. It is a depressing show. I just didn't fit in. And like, they made fun of me for everything. Aww. Like, I was so skinny and they would call me fat all the time. Like, I remember I wanted to be this one role in a parade, and I remember being laughed at, like, you're too fat for that. I was like 150 pounds. Like, I was nothing. I was like a stick. I'm 5'8", I was 150 pounds. Like, I was very healthy, and they just were so mean to me constantly, and they were like, yeah, I just didn't have a good time in that department, so I never really talk about it.
What was your favorite part of the show? Like, either to act or just, like, as a fan of the show? Like, what did you, were you like, that's cool?
I really liked Room 2. I liked watching someone who could do it tight because it could look cool.
Yeah.
You know, Room 2 with the Pepper's Ghost, Christopher Walken. That was cool. And the show overall... I don't think it was a good ride. I don't think it was a good ride. I think it was a pretty okay show. It was like a C+ of a show. If you had time to do it, do it. Because I think there's a lot of lead up, but watching yourself on that trailer is really fun and people like it.
Yeah, people, it seemed like a good time. Like, it seemed like people really had a fun time doing it.
I hope so. I remember, like, sometimes I would, like, so across the street, because it was the San Francisco area, across the street, I could get clam chowder. And I would go get clam chowder on my breaks. But I would still be in my red shirt because, like, character integrity, what? And people would stop me and be like, oh, you were my Lonnie. Like, you were great. And I was like, oh, my gosh, thank you. That sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but, like.
Toot, toot. Beep, beep. How close were you to Jaws?
The shark?
Yeah.
He had his own dressing room. He was like, he was a real diva shark.
Were you like friends to lovers?
No, he was like, I wish I was his lover. He traveled in his own tight circles. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's a real, you know, scene chomper, so.
Yeah.
Eats the scenery.
Yeah. You know when they say chew the scenery? That's after him, because he would.
What was your best overall audience like?
Okay, this is going to sound strange. as if anything I've said so far. Check the energy of the room. Read the room. I know that sounds like bullshit, but it's real stuff that I did, whatever. Anyway, 10 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock at night on a not horror night's day. Why do you say that, Michelle? 10 o'clock in the morning, people have had breakfast. They're willing to pay attention. 2 o'clock, people have had lunch. They're willing to pay attention. 6 o'clock, people have had dinner or have had one beer. They're willing to pay attention. So it was a matter, and I learned this on the Jungle Cruise. It's a matter of what, like, you could deliver the exact same show and people will be like, yeah. Woo! And then also, one good thing was our area was air conditioned, but like if it was too hot, there's just a lot of human factors of being like, it's hot out, they're cranky. It's like, that makes sense. It's 11, it's, you know, 11:30, they're hungry, you know, cool. Or they think this is a ride and really it's more of a show experience. But like a good crowd is someone that is like with you from the beginning. Like when you start talking, they're quiet and they're good at volunteering or they want to volunteer. That was like a good crowd. And then one that I could noodle with when it came to like stalling. So there's no ideal crowd. I just knew like there were ideal times that like generally this time was better for crowds.
So your worldview is food based.
What a surprise.
Like, I was paying attention to what you're saying, but the whole time I was just like, I'm going to say that when she's done talking.
And it was perfect.
So final question. What was it like working with Christopher Walken?
Oh, man, that guy is a sweetheart. He would come. He would bring like donuts. He'd be like, hey, I brought donuts for the cast. He would always give like. He would always give like bear hugs. He was always talking about Tina Fey's great writing on when he was on SNL. He's like, you know, the googly eye sketch. She wrote that. She's so funny. She's hilarious.
Did he come with a cowbell sometimes?
Oh, so he would be like, bing, bing. It's like, no, we get it. You've been in that sketch. He's like, just in case you forgot. I was in the cowbell sketch. That was all sarcasm. I never met him in my life. I think he filmed all of his stuff in L.A. and they just shipped the footage over.
And they probably could have, like, clipped it together perfectly because, like, there's no background. So, like, they could have, like, it's not like he had to, like, time off another Lonnie. Like, they probably spaced it. No, but he's on the whole time. So he had to, like, have that down, that timing down perfectly, too.
So I know that some of the, again, some of the more seasoned actors worked with him so that he could kind of get the rhythm of, like, this is how theme park performers perform. And they, like, I think it was like a 3-day shoot that it took just for that one thing. Not as bad as Jack Donaghy, but you yeah. know.
Intergortion?
It didn't feel like 5 days, guys, did it? Mm.
Yeah, it was very like Christopher Walken. They're like, okay, Christopher Walken, do a Christopher Walken impression.
Yeah, he's like, all right.
So what are your final thoughts on the ride? Anything you'd like to impart on our listeners?
Well, if you are a theme park director or casting agent, I am available to perform in your local theme park.
Or your house.
Or your home, whatever. I'm available to make TikToks on request. I think I'm the Broadway Belle on TikTok. Anyway.
You should make cameos.
Oh my gosh. Hello. It's me. Christopher Walken. Hey, did you ever get that cameo from The Grinch you ordered a year ago?
Nope. They sent me an email and they said that, sorry, you're not going to get it. Because it was free. So basically, I think too many people wanted to do it. I've gotten every other cameo I ordered, but I've paid for them all. So that is the end of the season.
And scene.
Moving on. And I remembered it.
You did it!
This season, I don't know how long the break will be, but I will say, email me a lot, bug me a lot, because I was going to take a longer break before this season, but I came back because so many people were like, oh, we love it. We missed the show. Blah. My ego is very, likes to be inflated. So like,
I'm sorry. Did you listen to me talk about acting for an hour and 37 minutes? My ego is like giant. It's disgusting.
So some things to do in the interterm. So yeah, definitely won't be coming back till next year, but that is like a month away. So tag people on your various social media platforms that you would like to be on the show. Tag them, tag 1313 Harbor and say, hey, so-and-so, it would be great if you were on the show, or however you want to say it. I've actually gotten a few guests that way, that people who listen to the podcast went and like, cause it's a lot less awkward when like 10 people are like, you should be on the show, and me going like, hey, you should be on the show, versus just me cold contacting a lot of people.
And I'm terrible. I call cold contact anyone and like, hi, I'm Zabadabadoo. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such films as.
So also email request for episodes to 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com.
And non-Disney related content for me to talk about so I can come back.
Yeah, so we're going to, so everyone keeps asking about our Knott's Berry Farm episode, and I said, I can't do it till we can go to Knott's Berry Farm, and obviously we cannot right now.
I want to record an episode, this is my dream, right? you and me. I've never been to Knott's Berry Farm. We're just in the park recording.
Your thoughts.
Me. Yeah. Like, what? I don't understand. This could have been Disney's America. I hate this place.
Happy holidays, everyone. I was going to continue the show on through Christmas, but I got burnt out. So the season was only supposed to be 10 episodes, and I think it ended up being like more than 15. Long story short, thank you for another great season, everybody. I really love doing this. This season really like re-sparked my passion, but I am a little tired, so I do need to take a break. If you want to write me and talk to me about theme parks, I will talk to you about theme parks. I'm starting a street team, for lack of a better word. So the Patreon, I think, is no more. It may come back. I was saying like maybe in the off season I might bring it back, because it's hard to do it actually when the show is on. So thank you for another great season, everybody. Make sure to follow us on our website, 1313harborthepodcast.com. There's many, anywhere you type in 1313 Harbor the Podcast, you're gonna find us. Listen to old episodes, share with your friends. I love you all. Thank you for another great season.
Thank you so much, you guys. We'll see you next season, because we are
moving on. And to all who come to this happy podcast, welcome.
Bye.